Well, Ernie texted or emailed me and said, last week it was on humility, and I had to teach it, which I know nothing about. And this week it's wine and women, which I know a lot about. They're in Meridian, Mississippi, with Knowing God's Ministry. We want to keep them in our prayers as well, because they are continuing to share the good news, and that's the exciting thing. Leroy came up to me and said, well, you always get the bummer lessons. And I, when I first looked at this, actually I looked at it in the middle of the week to kind of start, you know, actually I was getting ready to go to bed. I thought, oh, I'll look at it, see what molds in my head. And then I thought, whoa, what are we going to do with wine and women? Go ahead.
I should be teaching the lesson. I wrote a book one time on what I know about women. It's about that thick. You open it up and it's all blank pages.
It's all blank pages, huh? Well, it's an interesting thing. You know, the lesson talks about wine, and this is the last chapter in Proverbs, and it's about apparently a mother's wish for her son. And when we think about it, what does wine have to do with our salvation? Okay.
That's important for us.
Though. Okay. That's important for us.
I think the only thing is it clouds our thinking. It doesn't help us think necessarily.
The wine does? You know, I think we always have a danger in any kind of presentation about anything related to health that it becomes the message. And that's the dangerous thing about anything. Because, you know, in working as a marriage and family counselor, I can tell you most fights happen when alcohol is related. I'll sit and I'll talk to a couple and they'll sit in there talking about stuff and they'll tell me all what they said. I said, well, where were you? Oh, we were out drinking and had with some friends. And to me it seems real obvious. What's going on here? Maybe you have to look at how the alcohol contributes to that. But then I've met some couples that never drink that might need to drink till they start talking. So when you think about it, you see how it's really a challenge to kind of look at understanding what the intent is. And it's... You know, truthfully, the things that you were talking about at the food pantry, the things you were talking about, the WHO care money that we gave, those are the things of the gospel being spread. It's not asking, when did you have your last drink of alcohol? I have this boy come and see me. I say he's a boy. He's mid-20s. But I've known him when he was a little kid at our daycare years ago. So I've known him for years and have had this history with him. And he's now on probation and he uses meth. And he has a real meth issue. And he's on probation where he has to be drug tested once every month. So he'll use a meth for, he knows how to time it out so he can pass the drug test. So I'm intrigued that he comes, because he was brought by his dad and now he's coming on his own. And I sit there and I say, well, and he said to me the other day, he says, it's been 2 weeks. And he says, I'm getting to a point where I think I could do without it, but I'm feeling more normal. And we talked about some of the blood and the chemistry in the body. And yet, that boy comes because he can talk about his struggle. And that's the key, is where are we able to talk about our struggles in life? Where are we able to talk about it? I've never had an issue with alcohol. I think I have a pretty addictive personality, so if I ever did, it'd be an ugly scene. But I just never have. It's never been an issue with me as far as didn't experiment. Didn't like the taste right off, so hey, what, not going to be a problem. They'll enjoy it. But see, that's the key, is it doesn't mean anything more about our righteousness or unrighteousness. Then you go to the next subject, women. He wrote a book on it. We've got it. We all need that book. And you know, it's kind of crazy when they just focus on women. The truth is, it should be probably labeled people. How do we understand the people that we put in our immediate world? What kind of connections do we have with each other? And how do those connections either uplift or bring us down? I had a funny experience. I think it was like the 13th of February, 12th, 11th, I don't know. I got an email from an old girlfriend who lives in New York State. She's an American Indian, and she's a singer, and she was going to be in Dallas on the 14th of February singing at SMU or something, a little concert, I don't know. And she said, I hope I got the right Dr. Doss. If it is, me and my husband and son are going to be there. Love to have you. And it was just so interesting to think about. Have had no contact for, I don't know, 20 years. And out of the blue, she comes to the point, oh, come see me. And not even come see me. It's February the 14th. Oh, yeah, I'm going to come on Valentine's Day. And just have nothing going on. And boom, I'm going to be right there. And I thought, ooh, good thing I'd ever gotten that relationship. Because it just hit me that it was all about her at that moment. And I responded back, oh, you got the right Dr. Doss. Not going to be able to do that, but you know. And she had a PhD after her name. I said, "Oh, you got a PhD? You know, just a little invitation." Got an email back. Oh well, give me your address. I'll send you some of my CDs. Didn't address me at all as a person. And I thought, that's fascinating. Got the CDs. It's enjoyable music. And I listened to them. But it's just interesting to think about our relationships with others. And this was a relationship when I was in Garden State Academy in New Jersey, at the academy there. So, you know, this is 40-some years ago. Well, I thought, since we go to the expert on wine and women, I thought we should look at Samson. Don't you think he's the expert on wine and women?
No.
He's a what?
He was a young man.
You don't get to be an expert
as a
young man. You don't get to be an expert. Well, let's go look at this young man's life. And I thought it's interesting to think about how we all, through the process, have come to our own conclusions. And it's interesting to look at Samson's life. So we're going to look at Samson's life. Judges chapter 13. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to a woman and said, "Behold, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now therefore be careful and not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for a boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Right there. Prenatal care. You think about it. You just think about it. Isn't it funny? You're getting understanding of prenatal care. And was it anything about salvation? It's just about making sure this boy has all his good faculties ready for. He's going to be... You know, I see these two but they're four-year-old girls, and they're both have come from a drug-addicted biological parents. They have all kinds of issues, but these girls' life force is so interesting. But the adopted mom was telling me the other day in the office, she said, this girl has no ability to handle any adjustments. You know, if things are just out of her little structure, she goes nuts. She said, I want to go around and say, the kid was throwing a fit at the Dallas Children's Medical Center. And she said, I want to go around and say, this is what happens to any of you if you have drugs during your pregnancy. Now, you know, this girl's a delightful girl. She's got life, of course, but yet the wiring has been that. So here, given instructions about prenatal care. Now, isn't it fascinating that there's so many stories in the Bible where these barren couples, and God comes and says, you're going to conceive a child? How many things of those you think of? Samuel's mother? Hannah? Elizabeth? Sarah? What? Why do you think that is? He can provide anything. I think that's a good thing to remember. It's so easy for us to start attributing to what we're doing. In this book that I've been reading from George Knight, says, God can make something from nothing, but he can't make anything from something. God can make something from nothing, but he can't make anything from something. Isn't that an interesting thought? When we think we're something, when we think it's about us, what happens? God's power is pretty limited. Now, does that mean we're just robots? Does that mean we're not active participants in this? No. It means we recognize the order of things. We recognize God, who God is, and the recognition of how we're dependent on Him. So we go on to read about Samson. Then the woman gave birth. This is verse 24 and 13. Woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson, and the child grew up and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahalanan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Okay, so, you know, it's really true. Think about, I don't know about your own experience if you've had children, but don't you believe that your child is the most precious gift there is to the world? And that's really what we're meant to do. Yeah, that child is in trouble. You know, last weekend I spent up with my daughter in New York City, where she's the ER doctor up there in residency. And part of my experience was she bought me these tickets to this play because a year ago I had talked about going to that play, but they're not selling up for the half off at the Father Duffy Square. They're being sold at the regular price. And I thought, man, well, she remembered that. And so she, when she was here about a month ago, she said, Dad, I can hardly wait to give you my gift. I can hardly wait. And I said, well, okay, well, you could tell me now, you know. And she said, no, I don't want to tell you now. So when we arrived there, we arrived on Thursday, and she was working a 24-hour shift, so she wasn't going to get it off till Friday morning. But she came to the apartment for a little break on Thursday, and the first thing she did, she hugged me, then went in, got a card, handed me the card. She was excited. And it was from her and my oldest daughter in Wichita. What do you think that meant to me, for me to get that? What a gift. What a gift. And you know, my struggle is to know how to accept it. I would say, oh, here, let me help pay for this. I didn't. But it was her excitement that I can buy this for Dad, because I'm in that position and it's his birthday. That, to me, was the greatest gift. That was the greatest gift. Don't you think that's what God wants from us? To give to Him because we're so grateful of all what He's done to us. And this is what Samson had the opportunity to do. Samson was endowed with physical strength, with tremendous abilities. Going on to Judges 14. Then Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. So he came back and told his father and mother, "I saw a woman, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife." Have you ever been in that position as a parent? "I'm thinking about marrying this person." "Oh, no. Whoa, I'm so worried." He went back and told his mom and dad. That's a good thing. But he didn't really engage them in conversation, did he? He said, "Go get her for me." My wife, is my youngest daughter, was walking her down the hall. She was crying, and she says, "It wasn't tears of joy. It was, oh, I can't believe it." When I walked her down, my wife said, she said, "I was crying, but it's not one tears of joy." 3 years later, they're divorced. Would I have rather her not to have that experience? Absolutely. But that's me and that my little horizontal view of the world. It was distressful, it was painful, it was upsetting, it was concerning. I am grateful for where she is in life. And I want to keep that focus on that. I do not know. I don't know what the process is. We're looking at Samson here. Mother and father, go get her.
You know, is there any, is it in the text that they said no, or let's not do this?
Well, let's go on. We're going to read here. Then his father and his mother said to him, "Is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all your people that you could take as a wife from the all of your people that you go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she looks good to me." There we go. Get her for me. She looks good. However, his father and his mother did not know that it was of the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistine. Now, how would you like that? Someone to come up to you, "Okay, so and so, this is of the Lord that you're gonna, your child's doing that." Wouldn't you want to slap him? But you go back to what Pastor Kevin, if you were in the first service, talked about. Joseph. Everything that he did, he recognized was where God had put him to be. Now, were there other ways it could have happened? Absolutely. But it's important to remember that I have very limited vision. And all of us have very limited vision. Horizontally, I can look that way. I can't look down on perspective.
Do you think it might, when you look at it, parent-child relationship, and they knew that he was going to be born, he was special,
mm-hmm.
Do you think the mom and the dad had failed a little bit here? Being able to instill in Samson some values in life.
Boy, that's a slippery slope. The slippery slope of that is we're going to that point where we believe that it's others' responsibility. And that's a challenging thing to know how to navigate. You know, when I'm dealing with a 13-year-old and his parents ragging on this kid about how bad this kid, part of me wants to say, well, maybe if you started thinking of your kid as something more than just an annoyance, it might be a different experience for your child. But at the same point, we each have our own choices. And if my choice about anything was because of something else, then I think we're going against what... That's why we're in this mess we're in. Because God wants each one of us to experience the freedom to choose to love Him. So I think that's a great point, that we never know the dynamics of that. And I want to always keep in tune the fact that there are factors that stimulate. But at the same time, we've got to remember that everyone has a choice. Years ago, I saw this girl that was having to go visit her father. And she would just, her father really did not know how to relate. He was terrible and lived with the mother and the stepdad. And the father was all kinds of issues. I went to court, testified about not this man not relating well, and more than not relating well, he was using drugs and all this kind of stuff. And I finally, and as I got nowhere and the kid had to go keep visiting with her, I finally changed my focus. I said, listen, how old are you? I think she was 9 at the time. I said, you're 9 years old. Do you know when you're about 14 or 15, you can go tell the judge? And you can then maybe decide thing that. So let's see, how many years is that? And I shifted the focus from trying to get there to be some structural way to realize you have power and this isn't a terminal condition. Now the girl is 17 and she says, I don't see my father at all. Yeah, he's going on. And she's resolved. But at some point, after I've done everything I knew, I had to help realize, you have to know that this is not going to be this way forever, and that you're, because it feels like it. Doesn't it feel that way when you're in situations? Feel like you're just, this is going to be forever. So, Samson went down, took this bride, and here we get his educational process on women. He told a riddle to all the men there, and then this on verse 15. Then it came about on the fourth day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may tell us the riddle, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us to impoverish us? Is this not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, you only hate me. And you do not love me. Oh, those words. Isn't it powerful words here? You don't love me if you love me. You would have propounded a riddle to the sons of my people and have not told it to me. And he said to her, behold, I have not told it to my father or my mother, so I should tell you. Classic argument. Well, I haven't told my parents, and you want me to tell you something I haven't told my parents?
Yeah, you wonder what would have happened in the story if she would have said, this is what they have threatened to do to me if you don't tell me.
And look at that difference. That's a great point.
That's not manipulating. I'm scared.
Absolutely. And see, I think that's a great example of what happens in fear. In fear, we have a choice to either own the fear and look to who we trust, or we start find ways to manipulate the situation. Think about how God relates to us. There's fear. We have fear, but how do we trust in God and recognize He is the creator of this world? Or do we start hedging our bets on things? Go ahead. Didn't
I haven't even told mom and dad, why should I tell you if they were first still?
That's right. Because he wasn't really joining in a relationship with her. She looked good. Remember, that's what he said to his mom and dad. They look good. However, she wept before him 7 days. The old wear and down technique, you know. Just keep going down. While their feast lasted. And it came about on the seventh day that he told her because she had pressed him so hard. She then told the riddle to the sons of the people. His education about relationships. Now, we all have had that education, haven't we? How do we learn to understand relationships with each other, relationships to a spouse, relationship to God? How do we deal with those kinds of things? He basically was worn down. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you have not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle." That's true.
It shows he's objectifying her.
Absolutely.
I know at the end he's a hero, but probably not a
He's in the Hall of Fame in faith.
But not for this.
There's not any moment in our life, none of us have lived lives that there's not moments we're probably be ashamed of. And I think that's, to me, the thing about Samson. It's an interesting thing. I mean, I can sit in a therapy session and talk so objectively to people. I go home and I talk to that woman over there and suddenly I lose all perspective. Why? What's the difference? I can relate to you about your children and ways to relate. Suddenly, I get a call at 11:30 in the night. I lose all perspective. Why? What's the difference? You what?
Personal involvement.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the most challenging things we have to do with relationships, is know how to handle our emotions and deal with our emotions in a way that we can make sure our message is being heard, not just our emotions. That's a really challenging thing. Go ahead.
Or should we make sure our emotions are
well,
if our emotions are appropriate,
you know, you got an interesting idea about emotions being appropriate. I don't really believe emotions are appropriate or inappropriate. I think they're feelings. The truth, I believe, is how we respond to the feelings is either going to heighten them or diminish them. I mean, if I'm... Well, it might be. Absolutely. It's important to always look at what's going on with us. It really is. Go ahead. You want to say it?
Oh.
It's important to understand that. Samson, you know, who knows what kind of ideas and beliefs he had about himself? Who knows what kind of upbringing he actually had that put him in a position to make some of these decisions?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. It has an effect.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a danger in that, isn't there? A special in the sense that I'm better than, instead of special because I am loved. And that, to me, is a real important difference, is how to understand, you know, you talk about, you know, God, and we're special because of what we do and don't drink wine, or because of what we do and don't do? No, we're special because He loves us. And in that loving experience, we then am viewed with a specialness. And that specialness then leads to natural results, where you pray for somebody while you're giving them food, and then they'll feel touched. Those are the things that you have to recognize. That's the thing we look at. So Samson and his specialness. There was a purpose to his life. There was a specific purpose. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went to Ashkelon and killed 30 of them and took their spoil and gave their change of clothes to those who told the riddle. And his anger burned, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his friend. So once again, you look at all these complicated relationships. All these complicated relationships. What was Samson learning? I don't know. What do we learn about ourselves in a relationship? Came back. But after a while, in time of wheat harvest, it came about that Samson visited his wife with a young goat and said, "I will go into my wife in her room." But her father did not let him enter. And her father said, "I really thought that you hated her intensely, so I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister more beautiful than she? Please let her be yours instead." Samson then said to them, This time I shall be blameless in regard to Philistines when I do them harm." And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took torches and turned the foxes' tails to tail and put one torch in the middle between the two tails. When he had set fire to the torches, he released the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistine, thus burning up both the shocks and the standing grain, along with the vineyards and the groves. So he started to fulfill his purpose, and that was to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. Was it the way it was maybe intended to be? You hope not. This bothers you a little, doesn't it? It's a little distressing the way they objectify it in this way. It is. Understandable. It is. Go ahead.
Samson seemed to never do the right thing. He never chose the right choice because he had no relationship with God. He was doing what he wanted to do. And he had, even though he thought he was supposed to be so special, well, maybe that was the problem. He thought he was so special, he was doing God's work in his own way. And when he died, it wasn't that he was doing what he was supposed to do by going after the Philistines. Because that wasn't God's way. That was wrong, what he did. God had another plan. And he wasn't even paying any attention to it. He never paid any attention to the very end.
And isn't that kind of true about some of us at times? When we struggle to pay attention? And that's the challenge. Go ahead. Yeah, I was going to say, it says there he judged Israel for 20 years. So it's interesting that we have the facts about this, but not, what about those? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It says here.
He went straight from all the relationships and everything.
No.
To destroying the temple.
No. Judges 16, verses 20. So he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines.
I don't remember that.
Why do you think we have know so much about this? Because it's really sharing the human struggle that we all have. Go ahead.
It's hard to see God's love through Samson's choices. Mm-hmm. Samson being called by God, it's hard to see God's love.
Mm-hmm. So how do you answer that question? Is this God showing God's love? What do you do with that? How about the rest of you? That's kind of the standard reason some people throw out the Old Testament. How could a loving God allow a flood? How could a loving God... What?
He continued to allow
them more choices. Okay.
No, I mean, it seems like... That was kind of his plan, God's plan, for him to act out that way. That's all I mean.
Oh.
I can see that without God, mm-hmm. stuff like that happens, and he's trying to set mm-hmm. the example, well, mm-hmm. but with me it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it almost seems like God was planning that bad stuff.
Yeah, and we all have to be careful that when you read someone's perspective on it, what do we, you know, when you're reading someone's perspective, that's their way of, this was the plan. I mean, your own life. You look back, this was a plan. Well, there is a plan, but I'm certainly there was maybe other ways to get there.
Sometimes the Bible refers to God's plan in a sense of his foreknowledge.
Mm-hmm. And what is God's plan? Okay, but
getting into an area that we really don't understand.
That's true, but what is God's ultimate plan? that everyone who wants to be with him should be in heaven. Now, the key part is everyone who wants to be there, because he doesn't want anybody to be there that doesn't want to be there. And what a loving God that is. The fact that he wants everyone who wants to be there to be there. You know, the story of Samson goes on, and the classic story of Delilah. And you know what kind of is intriguing to me is, one thing I've learned in life, and the thing about getting older, is you kind of see patterns. And I tell people this all the time when it comes to me, you don't have to deal with this now, but I guarantee you some form it's going to come back. There'll be some way it's going to come around again. So if you deal with it now, or if you deal with it later, that's really up to you. They don't like to hear that because they believe if I just dump this spouse, things will be better. If we just kick this kid out of the house, we won't have this problem. But I guarantee you, that just seems to be a principle. So it's really about, okay, he had the opportunity with his first woman. Now he's got Delilah. And he's in that same kind of experience. And you just wonder, what was he thinking? Where was his ability to think? Sure. Wasn't that a struggle for you when you didn't go back to Thailand? It was like, I'm supposed to be back there. Why am I not there? And that's an interesting thing to always realize is sometimes our plans, we get so caught in what they think they should be. And it's important to realize, wow, how do we take that step back and say, okay, well, I'm here for a reason. Let's figure that out. Ellen White writes about Samson. What a change to him who had been judged the champion of Israel. Now weak, blinded, imprisoned, degraded to the most menial service. Little by little, he had violated the conditions of his sacred calling. God had borne long with him, but when he had so yielded himself to the power of sin as to betray his secret, the Lord departed from him. The Lord departed from him, not in the sense that he wasn't with him, but all of his advantages were not with him anymore. And that's a reality that all of us have. When we do certain things over a period of time, we're going to lose our advantages. If we abuse alcohol, at some point, it's going to have an effect. Doesn't mean God's not with us. It just means the advantages. God's promise that through Samson he began to deliver Israel out of the hand of Philistine was fulfilled. But how dark and terrible the record of life which might have been a praise to God and a glory to the nation. Yet Samson is recognized in the Hall of Fame for faith. He came to the recognition that God loved him, that he could fulfill his purpose, and that he could do what his intent was. And to me, that's the important thing. I think that all the time with my children. I want them to come to their own conclusions about God's love. And however they get there, I'm willing to go down that road with them. And that's what I think God is going to do with each one of us. He's willing to allow each one of us to come to our own conclusions. Shall we pray? Dear God, we're so grateful that we can come together and celebrate life. And to celebrate the different lives of people that we can read about. While the tragedy of Samson was that he didn't experience the full freedom of his life, the beauty is he came to the conclusion that you are a God of love and that you are with him. And I wonder what that might have been as he pulled those pillars and that people and the temple were destroyed. But we know that he experienced your love and your caring. May each one of us have that in our experience in our life. no matter where we are, to recognize you love us. Thank you for this Sabbath day and this class. In your holy name, amen.